Hey, want to obviously look into God's Word together here. And so let's flip into the New Testament. We're going to get into the book of Acts. I've just been working through some of the stories in there. I've had a lot of fun. And I want to share one that I really spoke to me. When we read some of it together in a moment, you're going to see it's like a Sunday school story you maybe have heard of. You're like, oh, I know this movie parts of it, but I want to peel another layer back. Isn't that just the beauty of God's Word? It's just, it gets deeper and richer and more exciting every time you look at it. So I want to look at a story together. And so we see here in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says, so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So for those that were opposed to the scriptures, they started getting saved in Jesus' name. Oh, come on, let's go, Lord. Like, we need that here in our country. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. And so we would see the birth of the church. There's some really exciting things happening. And we're like, oh, praise God. Like, let's pray for a revival again. Let's pray that this would happen again. And sometimes we ask the question, like, why isn't it happening again? Why isn't it happening as much? And we could look at ideas of like, well, the North American church is a little bit, you know, quieter. We're not as, you know, outgoing. And then we look at parts of the world where it is happening. What we just read is rapidly happening. There is the expansion of the gospel. There are people getting saved, you know, every second of every moment of every day, more than people are getting born. And so we say, well, it is happening there. Why not here? Why not in this church? Why not in this community? And so I want to look at some ideas or some things that were happening in here that maybe we could glean from and that we could, you know, consider doing around our church and this community and our country and all those kind of things. So let's look at Stephen as an individual, as we just read. So what was he? You know, what made him do all these wonderful things? So we'll stay in the same chapter, chapter 6. Go back to verse 3. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. We will turn some of these responsibilities over to them. So they were having some opportunities. Church is exploding like any good church. And there's all these duties that need to be done. And there is a distribution of food. And they were like, hey, as leaders, you know, we just can't do all the work. We need some laborers in the harvest field. And so they were praying for that. And Stephen was one of these guys. Choose 7 men that were full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. We need a church full of people that are just Spirit-full and full of wisdom. Is there any of us out there today right now? Don't be timid. Come on, like in Jesus' name. We're full of the Spirit. We're full of wisdom. This church is full of tons of people like that. Amen? And in verse 8, it says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. You have countless stories that you keep sharing with me of things that are happening like this. That you're encountering with people, your relatives, family, work, all these kind of things. You go on vacation and all of a sudden the Spirit of God's moving. And you're like, I'm supposed to be on vacation, Lord. I'm supposed to have my feet up, relaxing. And God's doing something. He's saying something to you. So we see that happening. And we see in verse 10 as well. But they could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by whom he spoke. There's so many things that are coming opposed to God's word. Not the church. The church is God's word. It's the power and authority of God's word. And the reality is the world's coming up against that. And so what do we do with that? How do we interact with that? Well, I don't know. It's out of control. Country's going down. You know, everything's out of, you know. No. Stephen stands up and he stands opposed to that, but he's given wisdom on when in the way that he speaks. Now we know that how his life ends up. I'm not praying that for any of us in Jesus' name. We know that he stands up to the authority. The authority gets upset, just like they did to Jesus, and they end up killing the poor guy. You know, I mean, if you die, you go to heaven. So, I mean, it can't be too bad. But still, like, in the process, not very fun. Not very fun for your family. Very fun for those around you. But let's look at the same story in the Old Testament. Because we can find the same story all throughout Scripture. So let's go back to the Old Testament. I haven't even got started and I'm excited. I'm just getting warmed up. This is great. Exodus chapter 18, we see a similar story. I love this story. It's so good. You're going to just completely connect with it. So the Israelites come out of, God takes them out of, you know, slavery. They go through the Red Sea. They're wandering around the wilderness. And Moses is the leader. He's the boss. He's in charge. He's the pastor. There's like a church of 1 million people. Like, we're going to get there one day. We're getting close. We're working towards it. You know, one day, oh my, a million people, that'd be insane. But anyway, so Moses is in charge and he's so busy. In all of his wisdom, he says, you know, my wife and kids, I should probably just drop them off with the father-in-law. I've got a big responsibility to. That's a good decision, he's thinking. His father-in-law is like, what is going on here? This Moses character, like, he married my daughter. Like, I like this guy. He's a good leader, but he's ticking me off now. I got, you know, my daughter back here with all the kids. So he takes the wife and daughter back. And he runs into Moses, and this is what he says in Exodus 18, verse 17. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you're doing is not good. Now say that to your son-in-law, like, the way you're treating my daughter and my grandchildren is not good because of the way he was living. And in verse 18, it goes on, you and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work's too heavy for you. You can't handle it alone. Listen to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representation before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees of the law and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. Here it goes right here. The same context that we saw in the book of Acts. It's been happening all throughout Scripture. It needs to happen today as well. We continue this thought. But select capable men from all the people who fear God, who are trustworthy, who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over hundreds and thousands and fifties and tens. So we see there again, God is looking for capable men and women to take on some of the roles and take on some of the expectations and some of the duties and the capacity so that the whole thing can be successful in Jesus' name. When we see these things like the word of God expanded, people starting getting saved, miraculous things happened because of one guy. Well, we could say because of God, because of Jesus, I agree with that. But it was never about one guy. It was always about people. It was always about a team. It was always about God working through these people that were capable men and women that feared God, trustworthy men and women that hated dishonest gain. Do we have some of those in the house today? We got loads of them in the house. And so God is looking to instill in you and equip you and to release you to do what he's called you to do. Isn't that exciting? And then what will be the results? Hello! We're going to see some good results, right? Because again, that's only two stories. They're full. The Bible's full of these stories. That's awesome. Let's go look for some more information. So what would make us So when we say, hey, we're looking for these capable, godly men and women, trustworthy, godly men and women, women that would know with, you know, right from wrong, who would hate dishonest gain. Like, those are people that you would be like, I could trust you with the keys to my, you know, whatever. What's most important, like boat, house, car, whatever, you know, I could trust you with that. Those are the kind of people God. So how did they become that way? Did you just come out of the womb that way? You just come out like, oh, I'm a super trustworthy guy. You know, that's just the way I am. My parents, they just thought, oh, of all the children, this kid is like the best of the best. You know, like, obviously when the king shows up and he wants to anoint somebody king, here he is. Look at his statue. Look at his muscles. Look at all of his stuff. Did you come out that way? Or did it take actually some hard work to get that way? Did it take some times of you like, I want to be around people that I can glean from because they're full of grace and wisdom and I need some of that today. Does it take some people that speak into your life? You're like, I'm in a situation and I don't know how to get out of it. And somebody of older, you know, mature, God-fearing spoke into your life. You sit next to somebody that's just a person you want to honor and respect and you want to be like, you want to mirror your life like. And so obviously we could say Jesus Christ. We all know that. But there are people that are on this world that we interact with, that we get to see on a daily basis. And so let's go to this Sunday school story that, again, I want to just peel back another layer of understanding on this story. So here we go. We were in the book of Acts, and the other author, the same author, also wrote the book of Luke. So Luke chapter 8, Luke and Acts, great book, go together, real nice. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 4, we'll start reading the story, and it'll start to make sense. You're going to start hearing words around like, the seed and the word and this kind of garden environment, and then we're going to see what happens at the end. There's going to be some fruit produced. And so in Luke chapter 8, let's look for some of that stuff there. Well, a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town. He told them this parable, so this story to help make a point. A farmer went out to sow his seed, As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, was trampled on, the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up choked the plants out. Still others fell on good soil. That's where we want to land today. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than its own. And we just kind of move through a couple verses because then Jesus is kind of explaining it. The disciples are asking, Lord, explain this to us. And this is what Jesus says in response in verse 11. This is the meaning of that parable. The seed, which I think we all know very clearly, is the word of God. As we seed the word of God, as we speak the word of God, as we hear the word of God, seed goes out. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock, those seeds that fell on the rock, are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, when pressures come in life, when troubles come in life, they fall away. And the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked up by life's again worries, by the pleasures and riches, and honestly, by the blessing from God's hand. They focus on that, and they fall away, and they never grow and mature. But here's verse 15. Oh, this is brilliant stuff. But the seed that's on good soil stands for those that are noble, have a good heart, who hear the word of God, who retain it, and by persevering, by growing in it, by maturing in it, by applying it, by gleaning it, it produces a crop, it produces a harvest. God says, go around and produce good fruit. Well, how are we going to do that? And how do we get good soil? I don't want a bunch of rocks in my life. I don't want a bunch of thorns and thistles so that when the word of God shows up, ends up, not landing anywhere. I want good soil. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Think about this, okay? In Hebrew theology, this is what it means. And some of those words, those moving parts here. So the seed itself is the word of God, is the word of Yahweh. That's very clear there. The soil is the layers of understanding of God's word. We could say that the layers of soil, like if it's rocky, you're not going to have much, there's not going to be any good soil to grow upon. If it's hard path that you've walked on, it's hard ground, hard to work the ground. But the soil is the understanding of God's word, the depth of God's word. And so we could say like the darkness of your soil, because it's rich, right? The darker the soil, sometimes the richer the soil. Unless it gets too dark, and then it's not really good for anything. But and then how good is your soil? When the roots start going down to find, to be fed, where do those roots go to? I mean, are they connecting with God because you know God's word so well? Because you've learned it, you've gleaned it, you've put it into practice in your life. Like that's good, rich soil that we want to produce, that we want to put seed in so it lands. So that's in our life. So what is our understanding of the word of God? The other part is the garden environment is the ecosystem with the relationship that we have with what? People, situations. It's our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So the garden environment that you have, whether there's thorns and thistles and rocks, is dependent upon your relationship with God. And your relationship with God is better than your environment, your ecosystem is better. Because often we can say, well, how can I be successful in life in North America? How can I be successful in this country that's just making these crazy decisions? How can I be successful with this family that I have or in this work environment that I have? Blah, on and on we go. It has nothing to do with that. It's not dependent upon that. It's dependent on your relationship with God, and that influences your garden, your ecosystem, and that influences how good your soil is. And it's only dependent upon that. And so can anything interfere with that? What can interfere with that? Even if you're in jail, it can't interfere with that. Because you can still have a relationship with God and you can still work your soul, you can still be a witness to those inmates and those kind of things. It can't take away from that. We look at earthly things that feel like are influencing us and pushing us in the wrong direction. When we got our eyes on the wrong, we got to have our eyes on Jesus Christ. We got to have our eyes on the word of God so that everything can be flourishing and growing. You know, in the midst of the toughest times, you can be joyful. You can be full of excitement, even though it's tough. Because you got your eyes on something bigger. You got your eyes on your Heavenly Father who influences all those things. Isn't that just brilliant stuff? I love that stuff. but Yahweh. So it's our relationship with God, with Yahweh, and our in ourselves. Because if not, this is what happens. That's why it's written there for us, these things that are not good, right? The packed road. Have you ever tried to plant seed or any, you know, in have you ever tried to work? I need to dig a hole to put my fence on. And there's some areas where you put your fence hole. If you have to do it by hand, who's done that? I've done that. I have splinters in my back and all these kind of things. Like some areas you're like, oh, in like seconds you've got a hole, you know, 3 feet deep. Boom. Yeah. I remember what Wally was telling me about that story when they was putting up power lines over here before. It was like every hole was like a certain amount of money. And some holes were easy. And some holes you got to, and it's just like a big stone. You're like, oh my word. You're like, we're gonna have to just move this fence or something, and it's just gonna go like because there's no way I can even work that ground. What kind of ground is it? And we have the ability as we connect with God to remove those things so that they're not like that. You know, is our ecosystem, is our area where we kind of allow things to be spoken into our life, is it just full of rocks? Are we just hard-hearted? You know, we hear the word of God, oh, so good, and then on to the next thing. You're just in and out. Or is it thorny and prickly and ouchy? Have you ever tried to pick, like, blackberries? You're like, oh, that lovely fruit. I want to get at it. And the whole way you're trying to get these blackberries. It's totally worth it in the end, they'll promise me, right? It's just delicious. But at the same time, right, you don't want to be around. You don't want your fruit to be painful to be around. Like, that guy has good fruit, but, man, he sure gave me a bowl of that. You know, like, we don't want to be like that, do we? We want to be people that have, like, are gentle, are humble. We just love Jesus. And then when people are around us are like, whoa, this guy feels like he's got some rich soil. Oh, I want to glean from him. Are you ever like that? There's some people here this morning that are doing it. You're sitting next to somebody, you're like, I like this guy, you know, or this girl, she's like super great. You know, I know that they love Jesus. And I know when I go to conferences and stuff, and I've done this, I'm super guilty. I don't even know why I tell you all these things that I'm just, you know, growing and maturing. And I'm at a conference and I'm at the back, and all of a sudden the guest speaker sits next to me. Oh, praise Jesus, hallelujah. You know, like, I don't know why I did that, but I was just like, holy smokes, this is like the big guy. He wrote all these books. Like, I should just be more engaged. I'm thinking, what's wrong with me, right? You know, but it's just reality, right? We get excited about those kind of people we're around. We kind of like, and that's the same way with the Word, the same way with Jesus. When you get to hang around with him, you say, woohoo! When you get to worship him, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, we got to worship Jesus. That's just me. That's just what I deal with. I don't know what you guys deal with. Is our areas like full of life? And how does that come? Its blossoms and the food and the beauty of all of its fruits are based off of, again, that relationship with God Almighty. Because so often we can get derailed by like, oh, I tried to pray and I tried to witness and I tried to, you know, do these things and they kind of came up short or you felt like, that didn't really work out super well. But if it's based off of me and my works, then you might close the church down, right? You guys are going to leave, you know, whatever you want to say. But if it's based off my relationship with God that is a loving Heavenly Father that wants to connect with you, that wants to have relationship with you, and that's how fruit produces, then sign me up, Jack. I'm all in. Because God is like looking at me like, okay, you don't have it all together. You're definitely, you know, not perfect, and you got all these problems, but I love you, and I want to use you, and I want to work through you. And so let's just peel that back just a bit further. So think about this for fun. I think there's some kids in the house, or at least you have kids or grandkids that you would connect with this. There's this wonderful, like, arcade kind of game thing that somebody, I don't know if they're here today, like, mastered. So it was like the little claw and hook thing, and it would pick up things, right? You know, you pick up, you know, $2, goes in. Now it's just a credit card because it's so expensive. You can't even put money in the thing anymore. You got to tap your card. Anyways, it grabs whatever, you know, grabs your thing and brings it over to you. And then so for some people that don't know how to play the game, you're like, tap, 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 tap. You know, just, you're not winning all the time. But some people are like almost every time they're getting things. And so when you think about your life, in life, that claw, if you don't know how it works, it's honestly difficult. You know, just money. You never get anything. So you never get any reward. But there's some that have figured it out. Some that have really been able to connect with that. And so when we reach out to God and we want to add things to our life, stuffies are fun, right? You need to have lots of them, right? And so you keep adding to your life. Legos are fun. You know, you keep adding more of those. Cars are fun. No, I'm joking. But you just keep adding them. And so That's a worldly perspective. But it's the same with the Lord. When we reach out to the Lord, what are you retaining? What are you? Because if it comes into your life, is it going to land somewhere well? Is it going to keep growing you and maturing you? Or is it going to just kind of be like, and not very good? Or you haven't really figured it out. It is monumentally important that we get that. That it's, again, about Him and our relationship with Him, not dependent on our situation here. If we get our eyes on this stuff, we run into that all the time. You're like, oh, God, why? Why me? Why the situation? Why did my car break? Why did my car get backed into again? You know, like, what's going on here? And all these kind of things. Versus, oh, praise God, I woke up. I have oxygen in my lungs. I'm still breathing. I got to go to church today. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, what some other ways you can kind of like add things to your life? And so when you gave the announcement, there wasn't everybody here, but you know, Pastor Ben is working really hard, and we're working together on a school of ministry this fall. Like, how exciting is that? We're going to like press into the Word of God. We're going to help disciple and grow some young people and just pour into people. Like, that's a huge win for the kingdom. And so these are ways that we can kind of make our soil better and richer and more complete. And again, we can look at our situation in the world. We could say, look at some of the things that we're encountering today in the world. And I just want to share a few. I cut out a ton because I was like, I don't even want to say that from the pulpit. But here are some things that are happening currently in our day and age. On average, a person will have more conversations with computer bots than with their spouse on a daily basis. On average. Dang. And how do I witness to that person? How do I tell them about Jesus? So those are some real things that we're talking about. This is just funny, I think, but a goldfish has an attention span of 8 seconds. For the first time in history, humans have an attention span, I can't even say it out loud, of 7 seconds. Because we're training ourselves to be that way with all of our wonderful technology. And so we say, well, how can I ever have enough time to have somebody's attention to speak in their life, that kind of stuff? We can say it's difficult. And that's just facts. Let's have some fun with this one. I like this one the best. There's a generation that's coming up, and I kind of almost fall in it. I think, I'm a little bit too old for this one, but has never licked a stamp or written a check. So when you're trying to witness to another generation, you say to them, you know what, you just need to write a check. That's your problem. Or, hey, you know what, you need to go lick a stamp. That'll fix you. Like, what, are you kidding me? That's mental, right? So we live in a generation where, you know, we did that, but there's those that are coming up that didn't do that. And so that'll fix them. Licking a stamp's going to fix them. Like, that's insane. And so when we look at the world as it's just changing and everything's, you know, just, we still got to interact with that world. We still got to figure out how to be in a relationship with those kind of people that have never written a check before. Makes no sense to me anyways, but you know what I'm saying? Like, so why would we ever bring the gospel differently than that? We say like, you know, we used to do it this way, or you just don't understand, or it used to be like this. Well, that's not going to connect with somebody. You got to be in relationship with them. You be in relationship with your Heavenly Father, and your Heavenly Father will build those relationships if you're in good soil. Versus just like, you know, all the problems. All the problems are never going to get me anywhere. Because cultures and trends are always going to change. But we need to be in a good relationship with our Heavenly Father who will make us this way. Watch what happens here. I'm going to share 2 verses, then we'll close it off and we'll wrap it up. Let's go back to Acts chapter 6 again. And there's just something in there in verse 7 that I just want to kind of expand upon a little bit. So just very simply it says, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So, how does the word of God spread? How do I be a part of that? You know, when I say, okay, I'm mature, I've got good soil, I hear the word, I'm a good relationship, and so how do I expand upon that? How do I help that? And so, imagery, just for fun. You can see this often on a body of water, a lake, a pond, or something that has fish in it. And I'm just a fisherman. You know, like if there is a dimple in the water, like it's just flat calm out, and all of a sudden, bloop, I just see a dimple. My fly's going right there. Bloop, yep, got him. Because I know there's fish in there. And that little dimple, though, made something that I could see, made me aware that there was something in the water. And sometimes there's obviously ponds you've seen, too, where it's just like, it's almost like it's, you're like, is it raining? But it's not. It's just, there's just 1,000 little minnows going, you know, all over the place. So you can tell that it's just teeming with fish. And so when we think about the world out there, and we think about us, and as we connect with people, whether it's maybe through a prayer, bloop, little dimple in the water, whether it's through a conversation, bloop, whether it's through, you know, anything, just bloop, all these little things at some point cause ripples in the water. And those ripples will eventually bump into other ripples. You know, how did you get saved? Because on average, the average is, I got my little chain here somewhere. I have links on my necklace here. I choke myself here, wherever it is. There are links on my necklace, which makes, you know, something I can wear around my head so I don't lose it. It takes on average, currently right now, it may have changed a little bit, 7 great encounters with a person that is of noble character, a person that has integrity, a person that hates dishonest gain, a person that loves Jesus, about 7 real encounters in life for a person to get saved, on average. I mean, for me it was 1, for you it may have been more. But so for you and I, what does that look like? So how do we interact with the world? Because it's not about us just like, we got to get everybody saved. That's our total goal. That's all my agenda. I think it's true, but it's just about being around people. It's about investing in people. It's about praying for people. It's about speaking into their life. It's about being, you know, all those kind of things. It's just bloop, bloop, all these little dimples, and all of a sudden, it just spreads. That's how it goes out. And in verse 15, the very last thought here, so we see in Acts 15, chapter 6, all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw his face, and it looked like the face of an angel. And so that's a whole sermon. I'll just touch on a little bit of it there. In the morning Bible study, we are studying and looking at prayer and the importance and the value of prayer. And so he goes back, like I think every pastor does and every preacher does, and talks about, like, well, in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, there's all these things that happened which influenced us today. And so the same thing is happening. The author, Dutch Sheets, is teaching us about some of the things that were happening in the garden. And so Adam's around, you know. Humans are around. And as the animal kingdom interacts with humans, it says the word there that the animal kingdom would look at, they would see a shadow of Adam, a shadow of a human, or catch them out of the corner of their eye, and they would think that it was God. They would think that it was the person in charge, the creator, because you and I are made in his image. We're exactly like him. And so when people interact with us, as Jesus said in the New Testament, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. You've seen God. And so when people interact with us, don't put this, you know, big crown on your head like, you know, I'm God, or, you know, shirts like that or anything. Please don't do that kind of stuff. And don't think that you're, you know, greater than you are. But when people interact with us and they see us, they shouldn't see you. They should see God. They should see Jesus. They should see in our lives, especially as if you grew up un-Christian, they should see, well, I know that guy or that lady of like this. I know how they used to be and act and take advantage and steal from me. And now I see in them, what is going on? I have a question. What happened to you? There should be something drastically different. Or you may have been raised in a Christian home. You've always been Christian your whole life. You just became a Christian. I'm joking. At some point, you need to own your own Christianity. But you've just always been a pretty good person. And so when people interact with you, then they should still see good soil, a trustworthy person, person that's of integrity. I've said this a few times. Who are the kind of people that you would trust with your spouse? Those are the kind of people that we want to be. Those are the kind of people that this church is full of. Those are the kind of stories that you share with me. And so I'm encouraged by that. So when I share this with you, it's not like, you turkeys, pull up your socks. Your soil's dirty and full of, like, you know, like, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, like, be encouraged that we have this moment, that there are things like this, like things that are growing and thriving and the Spirit of God is moving, all these kind of things. So that's a sign of something wonderful that's happening within our church. And so I want you to press into that, though, not to just sit back and go, yeah, it is pretty good. Yeah, it's going well. So, you know, I can take a break. Finally, we've had some years of success and not turmoil, so let's just take a break now. No, it's about pressing in, saying, God, what are you up to now? What season of are we in this church? What season am I in my life? Because if you look at your environment, your little garden kind of, like, you know, environment, there are still And I am still guilty of this. There are still rocky areas. There are still prickly, thorny areas. I apologize. I just said at some point I know I'm going to offend you. I don't mean to. That there are still hard areas that I need to work on. But just don't give up. Don't think good enough. Don't think, well, I got my ticket to heaven. I'm okay now. Think about, like, God, I need some help in that area. God, I want to do better in that area. God, somebody needs a touch from you and somebody needs some prayers. Let me be the person that touches them and prays for them in Jesus' name. Oh, I pray that our church would be just more and more alive in that kind of a thought. Darker and darker soil in Jesus' name.